5, starting in verse 21. If you want to look at that, it's a familiar story. And one of the verses says, "Why troublest thou the master?" Why do we not always pray, and if you want to put it that way, trouble the master? Well, I don't think the disciples said that. And again, I think at that point in Christ's ministry on earth, they didn't fully understand his power and understand where he was going and what he was going to do. I don't think a lot of that came into their full understanding until after he was resurrected and the Holy Spirit came down and dwelt on them, and they went out and preached and seen thousands of people saved. They were just people just like us. In this situation, you know, why, Lord, are you letting it? These people are bothering you. Well, they weren't bothering Christ. They were asking for needs that they had. This particular one lady. So we go through life a lot of times, and we don't ask, and we should, for little things that we need in our lives, and big things. We always ask big things. A lot of times something big has to happen before we want to go to prayer about it. Before we go to the Lord and bother him, he's not bothered. He's there with his hands out all the time. And we know that's the fact. We've all read the Bible and studied the Bible and heard the verses and talked. Let's just think simply about it in our lives, how we apply this. Why bother the Lord? I don't even want to ask that question. He's not bothered by any of us that are his children. And I think everybody in here is his child. Pretty sure everybody's saved. I don't want to think in those pretenses that my youngins are going on a trip. Would you make sure they have safety as they drive down the highway? Is that bothering the Lord? No. Can he touch that situation? Well, of course he can. He has all power. I picked out just a few verses in the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there's pages of it talks about his power. Of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was written to the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Romans at that time. And so they, in different languages and a little different ways, if you look at the same story in both chapters, it's written just a dab here and there, different because of the language differentials. So why do we hesitate, or why do we forget? That's my problem. I have something going on, and I, you know, get on the phone and call somebody and try to solve it and fix it and this and that and the other. That's me. I'm an engineer, and I call and fix things for people. And I don't pray about it. I should have prayed about it before I picked up the telephone. So let's look at this story a little bit here and think about what's going on in this situation. So here we have Jairus, which is a leader in the Jewish church at the time. And why does he all of a sudden, they know he's been, Christ is in the middle of his ministry, working miracles and doing this and that, and traveling the country there. And here's one of the Jewish leaders in the church comes to him. Now, does he really, really believe? I think from some of the verses and some of the things that he says and some of the things that his staff says that they really don't believe Christ can save somebody from death and raise them from death. And it says in verse 21, it says, when Jesus was passed over again by the ship into another side, much people gathered unto him. So everybody had heard that he could do miracles, and everybody wanted something. And he was nigh unto the sea, and behold, they come one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Something serious got this man on his knees. I really don't want to wait till serious things happen in my life to pray. I've learned that lesson in the past 5, 6, 8 years. As we all went through COVID and this and that and cancer and on and on and on, we need to pray. We need to be on our knees all the time. And besought him greatly, saying, here's what Jairus said, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. Now, he had some faith here, or either he was testing Christ, but he had heard or seen, heard about, saw miracles, maybe saw someone that couldn't speak or couldn't see or couldn't walk, walking and talking and seeing. Then he said, I thought that man was blind. He said, no, Jesus walked by and touched him, and now he can see. Well, my parents made it all the way to Florida and didn't, you know, they're in their 70s and 80s and 90s and driving all that way on the interstate, and nothing happened to them. Praise the Lord. God can watch over things like that. And somebody that works here, you're talking and saying, you know, my parents took off and they drive a motorhome and they're vacationing in the South this winter, and God's protecting. They found a little church to go to and they're just having a great time. And then maybe somebody later on walks up and says, that's an amazing thing that God's taking care of them. Or somebody sees that you've been blessed by some answered prayer, health-wise. Got through some little surgery on your hip or your hand or whatever it may be, more serious stuff. Or cancer was cured or caught it early enough or whatever it may be. And someone sees that. And that can be used in our lives as a testimony to the power of Christ in our life. Stuff happens to all of us. We all get affected by the sinful world. And God's watching over all of us. And why not praise him for what he has done? So somebody may walk by us and say, now, what happened? I heard you this and that. And first thing you want to say, well, God has the power to heal. God has the power to protect. And that's what this man had seen. Because he said, I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her. Just put your hands on her. Don't know funny stuff or crazy stuff or lighting incense or doing all the silly things that healers do. Just put your hands on her. I've heard that you have the power to bring people back from the dead. Probably heard the story of Lazarus, because that was when he first started doing all these miracles. In Matthew says it a little bit different. While he spoke these things upon them, behold, there was a certain ruler worshiped him, saying, worshiped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Now, whether she was dead or at the point of death, there's some difference in languages, but she was dying or dead already. But this man worshiped him. Jairus, it says here, worshiped him. Do you ever just get out on your face and worship God and thank him for answered prayers and worship him? Our Father, how great thou art. Just the model prayer praises his name first and worship him. And Jesus went with him, and much of the people followed him and throned him. They were crowded around him, pressing around him. And then in the middle of this journey to go see this Jairus' daughter that was on the footstep of death or was already dead, something else happens. And a certain woman which had an issue of the blood for 12 years and had suffered many things and many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Modern medicine. You know, Pam and I was talking about that the other day. You know, a lot of people believe in herbal healing and this and that and the other. I've always taken medicine for things. I'm not sure about all that, but a lot of people say, you know, God made everything and he put this together and that together, and people do this herbal, make this and that. And the old timers, grandma, she used to do stuff and make stuff and pick these flowers and soak this and that and rub it on her legs and rub it on her shoulders, and before anything was out there that helped your pain. And it seemed to work. But this lady was sick and she'd tried everything. And here's another person that heard about Jesus, that had seen someone, that someone seen or someone heard or heard the story about what Jesus done. And she wanted to get in on that. She said, I'm so sick, I'm about to die, I've got to get to this man. She had enough faith. Now, how much faith are we supposed to have? The faith of a mustard seed. She had that much. She didn't know him. It doesn't say she was saved. Doesn't say anything about that. She'd suffered many things. Nothing made her better. Nothing. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in, pressed behind, and touched his garment. She had enough faith to think that this man must be God walking on earth. He was the God man. Who gave her that understanding? The Holy Spirit was working in that crowd that day. The Holy Spirit was working on Jairus that day. Do we have that kind of faith? Just the little tiny bit. And this lady sneaks up and crawled under people. Can you see the crowd? A crowd probably as big as this room. And Jesus in the middle of it walking toward Jairus' house. And the crowd just, help me, help me, help me. I need this, I need food, I need this, or I need that. Everybody had a need. And this lady was so serious about getting to the feet of Jesus that she pressed through that crowd, probably crawling on her hands and knees, underneath everybody, and just barely got to where she touched his garments. Now, buddy, that's faith right there. Would we do that? Would you take the time to do that kind of praying to help either yourself or your loved ones or your family or a friend? I think about that myself. I said, would I crawl on my knees? You know, it's shameful somehow, sometimes how we go to God and not humble ourselves. This lady was about as low as she could get. Nobody would help her. She came and pressed behind that crowd and pressed upon him. She had full confidence because of what she heard that Jesus could heal her. How many people have we told about Christ's salvation and explain it in a way that we have full confidence that Christ will save you from your sins? I don't need to know what your sins is. You know what they are. See, a lot of times we like to talk about it. Bring out, what have you done? Oh, that's bad. Sin, folks. And Christ died for all mankind's sins. This lady got it figured out. Somehow somebody talked to her, or she saw or asked or something, because she was at the bottom. How many people we know is at the bottom right now? The economy and the mess that this great country's in right now, there's a lot of people at the bottom. She crawled to him and asked through her faith. She didn't even say anything. She just touched his clothing. How many of us got that kind of faith? I have to say I don't. I don't. I'm ashamed. I should have. We're all too used to solving problems of our own. Like I say, I've always been a fixer, and that's been hard for me to turn things over to the Lord and let Him do it, let Him fix it, let Him take care of it. See, you go to school, go to college, go to the military, and you're trained to do, you're trained to be a leader, you're trained to fix this and that and go forward and do the right thing. And then when you have that kind of marching orders in life, and if you're in the service, it carries over into your life. You want to do things, and you want to fix things, and you're able to do it, and you're able to talk to this and do that and get here, let's get this bunch going that direction, da-da-da. And we walk in front of Christ. We're not down on our knees behind Him. God help me. I can't do this. And a lot of times all that coordinating and fixing and writing this and that and doing formulas and doing all the paperwork and Excel sheets and all this stuff, and nothing happens. It just don't get done until you say, God, I can't go no more. I can't go no more. I've done all I know how to do. We've got to do it just like that lady did it, with just a tiny bit of faith. I don't have to touch His hand. I don't have to speak to Him. I just have to look up and believe that He can. Now, how easy is that? God's made it that easy for us. And Jesus immediately, knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, God knows all. God was giving this girl a chance to say, "I did." Probably was looking down at her. And you've done this with your children. "Well, who did this?" Looking right at them. And they know when you're looking at them, and they know you know. And that's how this question was asked. "Who touched me?" I can see it. I can see it just as plain as anything. He turns around. And here she is laying on the ground, probably with her face in the dirt. "Who touched me?" God's so good. He knows exactly what to say and when to say it. And here we go. "And the disciples said to him, Thou seest the multitude throng thee, and sayest thou, Who troubleth me? And he said unto the daughter, Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Thy faith has made thee whole." There in verse 34. He didn't say her name, he said daughter. Think about that. We're sons and daughters because of our faith in what Christ did on the cross. That lady not even got healed of a disease that day, but Christ called her a daughter. She became, because of her faith in him and what he could do and who he was, she got saved that day. She's sitting in heaven today. I can't wait to meet that lady. We don't even know her name, but she's there. And she had enough faith, just a touch, that would do it for her. I want to meet that lady. And he said unto her daughter, do you think that thrilled her soul to hear that? Sure it did. When I looked at my Katie and I say, "Daughter, I love you." And she looks up at me with those little eyes and them lips. And you can see she's about to cry because all I did was call her daughter. "I love you." And that's basically what Christ said to this lady. A word of kindness goes a long way. You know, when people have needs, people need some shoes or some clothes or this or that or some food, we can get ugly. "Why, if them people go to work, why, if they get straightened up, well, if they do this or that." But we have a lot of opinions, don't we? Did Christ do that to this lady? "Well, if you just get up off the dirt, straighten your life up, things would change for you." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Daughter, you're healed." I'm telling you, a word of kindness can go so far, so far, so far. Do you think somebody that's questioning about Christ, that's heard and knows and seeing, and they're not saved, and they say, "What can I do to get saved?" We're not to turn around and say, "Well, if you'd quit doing that, and you'd quit doing that, and you'd straighten up, that's your problem right there." No. We just need to be kind as we can be and say, "Trust Christ." And tell them how to get saved. It's so easy to get opinionated about people that are down and out. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Me and Pam's talked about it. There's so many people down and out right now that need a kind word. People in nursing homes need a kind word. People at home and sick need a kind word. People that have messed their lives up because how they live, they need somebody to give them a kind word. Christ did. I want to be like Christ. She was cured of a plague. Healed this lady. Mainly, he healed her from her sinful condition because he called her daughter. See, words in the Bible make, just one word makes the difference. Which said, "Thy daughter's dead." One of his servants came from the synagogue, and said, "Thy daughter's dead. Here it is. Why troublest thou the master any further?" These people, being devout Jews, because they were all working around the church, they did not have the faith. They did not have the faith that little girl had that was crawling around the dirt. These well-to-do, dressed to the nines, acting like, "Come and see me and I'll take care of everything. Put money in that right there and we'll see how this comes out." Dressed with all the proper dress and the bells on the bottom of their thing and going through the prayer and all the actions that they did and doing right and on and on. And Jesus gives all kinds of examples about those people. We know the stories. "Oh, look at who this is." And they said, "Well, just leave the master alone. There's no use to bring him in here. She's already dead." Zero faith. Oh, and there's a world out there like that. Zero faith. "Oh, we'll get to God our way. I can get to God my way." And that's where these people were at. They were stuck in the Old Testament. They didn't believe that Christ, they still don't, that Christ was the Son of God and had the power to save and heal. "Why troubles the master anymore?" Why? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid. See, Christ trying to calm him down because he heard that as well as Christ did. He probably just, his mind just went exploded. And Jesus looks at him and said, now be not afraid here. Can you see and hear the voice and see what he did? He may have turned around to the man and may have even took his hands and said, now be not afraid. Can you do that? Can you go to somebody that you don't know, somewhere that needs a good word, and say, be not afraid, only believe. God's going to take care of things and calm people's hearts. Follow the example of Christ in this situation. So many lessons in this little bit of a story in the Bible here, like a half a page in your King James Version. And he said, suffer no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he came into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and said, let me skip some stuff. I need to move on here. We're going to run out of time. We've already run out. And when he came in, he said unto them, why make ye ado? Because everybody was weeping and hollering and all that stuff over her death. The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Now that has a lot of meaning in it because of his crucifixion and him walking out of the tomb and lived after they crucified him, and there's all kinds of tiebacks on that. But she is not dead, she sleepeth. We can go really deep back into that. I mean, and that was saying things that these devout Jews understood, because they crucified him. They're going to crucify him. And it's unlikely that Jairus and the people and their opinions, these Sadducees that were so devout, they didn't understand why Jairus went to get the guy, went to get Christ, went to get, well, let's just send him off. We don't need him here. And they laughed and scorned. They said, well, this guy can't bring her back to life. And he took the damsel by the hand and said to her, Tamitha, Kuma, which means being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel rose and walked, and she was of age of 12 years, and they were astonished with this great astonishment, with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded them that something should be given her to eat. And that again ties back to him after he rose again and he was at the supper with the disciples and showed them his hand. He sighed and he sat down and had dinner with them. A lot of stuff in there that was going on. And he was saying these things because of these Jews and unbelief. So right back to, let's finish this up. Because of his power and his ability, I'm just telling you, if you've got a computer and a program, look up the word power in the gospel. So many verses that God's word talks about his power in the God-man. We got all kinds of people standing out there. I'm going to have to quit. But help God to help us to speak with a word of kindness and care and believe with that much faith that God has the power to do it. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for Christ and what you did on the cross. Thank you for your power, your healing power, your saving power that was illustrated in this simple story. Lord, we love you. Give us a good day in church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.